growing up, like everybody else, I had an awful lot to learn. And the older I got, the more I realized how much more I had to learn, how much I thought I knew and I didn't know. You know, we're a different and diverse bunch. Some of us are as full of baloney as a Christmas turkey, about like me. There's a lot of baloney about me. And I can stand up in front of an audience and I can speak and, you know, I can make an attempt at singing. I'm just kind of go along through life, and I have certain abilities. Some people might call them non-abilities, but there's certain things I can do that some of you wouldn't normally do. And Lord have mercy, there's certainly a lot of things out there that you all do that I just don't even have the least idea how to do. I'm about as good a builder as Lindell Maxwell was. You remember that mess Lindell Maxwell and I put together back here? It was so bad the church finally just had to tear it down and build another one. There's just lots of things that I can't do. You know, when I grew up, I wondered, I guess after I got up in my 30s, when the Lord judges us at the judgment seat, what's he going to judge us for? And of course, I figured it was all this sin I had in my life. Back then, I didn't realize that ever when I confessed it, I was forgiven. I was just as saved as I am now. There's just a lot of things I couldn't understand. How's he going to judge us? And some people would say, well, you just ought to leave that up to him. Well, believe me, I do. But after I came here to this church, for the first time in my life, I was forced to study the Bible. I mean, I was forced to do it. Because I had to teach the Bible. I had to preach the Bible. I knew that God would clobber me if I didn't. And after about 10 years, I began to strongly suspicion something. And after about 15, I was pretty sure of it. And by the time I passed the 20th year here, I was positive of it. I kept running across a single word that's used over and over and over and over and over and over and over again throughout the New Testament. And I'm going to be judged by Jesus Christ, and it was by his Spirit that New Testament was written. And the word is hypomene. Sometimes it's translated endurance. Sometimes it's translated patience. But I've come to understand something about judgment. I'm supposed to judge myself. And I'm supposed to judge myself by the Word of God. And I'm supposed to preach the Word of God to you, not so that I can judge you, but so that you can judge yourself by the Word of God. And I fell in love with the Word of God. I was amazed at how ignorant I was of what the Word of God teaches. And now at age 71, 29 years at this church, I still stand amazed at how ignorant I still am of the many things in God's Word that I haven't been able to penetrate or understand. I'm not just rambling. I'm trying to get to a point. And the point is this. What is Christ primarily going to judge us for at the judgment seat? Well, I sin daily in my thoughts and have to ask God to forgive me, but he tells me if I'm faithful and just to confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me. So I'm forgiven for those. And I preach and teach the Word of God, and I pastor, and I do this, and I do that. God's going to judge us for whether we endured. God's going to judge us for whether we patiently endured. He's going to judge us for whether we continued or not in his Word. He's not going to judge you because you didn't have a whole lot of talent. He's going to judge you for what little you used. He's going to judge you directly for how much you used a certain thing he gave you, the ability to serve him. Now, when I got saved, I got something besides salvation. I got the ability to serve God, and he gave it to me. I have that ability. It's God-given, and I've had it ever since the night I was saved. Did I understand that night? No, I just knew I wasn't going to hell and felt a great surge of relief. And went home that night happy for the first time in 4 years. But after 29 years here, I know what God's going to judge me for, and I know what he's going to judge you for. God gave us all the ability to serve Him. Now, some of us can do different things. And in a church, you have fingers, you have thumbs, you have heads, you have feet, you have arms, you have legs. The church is compared to a body in the New Testament. And each part does different things. Each part has different services they can render to God. There's lots of things you can do in a church. And none of them are considered high and low. They're all considered service to God. So what is the one thing that all of us have? The ability to serve God. So the question boils down to this. You've got the ability. God gave you the right and authority when He saved you. You've got His Spirit. He's going to judge you for whether or not you use that ability. And He's going to judge me for whether or not I use the ability and time that I had to serve Him. And He's going to judge me for whether I continued to serve Him until my dying breath. I've told you this story many times, and I apologize for the repetition. When we started in the Missionary Baptist Seminary in Little Rock, there were 65 in our class, the freshman class, biggest class they ever had, 65. You know how many of us finished? 13. You know how many of us are still preaching? 8. And you know who those 8 were? Old dull clods like me. We weren't fireballs. We weren't hyper-evangelists. We didn't get up every 2 minutes and give our testimony. We didn't jump up and tell how much we love the Lord. We just kind of sat there and finished. And God called us to churches. And 8 of us are still pastors. There were a lot more fellows in school who had a lot more talent than I did. A lot more ability. We're a lot better, more dynamic, a lot better speakers, a lot better singers, a lot better everything. But God gave them the same ability He gave me to serve Him. That's what He's going to judge us for. Well, 29 years later, I'm still serving Him. Now, I've learned that. Am I bragging? God forbid. God forbid. Because the only ability I have that God gave me is to serve. God's going to judge me if I served and kept on serving patiently and endured to the end. That seems pretty fair to me. Why? Because I'm capable of it. I'm not capable of living above sin, but I'm capable of staying in the race, and so are every one of you. It doesn't matter so much when you start. It matters when you finish. And if you're still running at the finish. Seems like such a small thing. But apparently it's a very difficult thing. Because a lot of people start the race and they never finish it. A lot of people drop out and they come back in and finish it. That's great. Just as long as you're still running at the finish. In Hebrews 6, 9 through 11, he wrote, "But beloved," speaking to saved men and women who were members of the church, probably at Alexandria, made up of Hebrews, "but beloved, we," the writer and those who were with him that wrote the book of Hebrews, "we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation." I'm responsible for what accompanies salvation. And I've been given the ability by God to do those better things that I'm accountable to God for. And things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints." How do you minister to the saints? You love them. You care for them. You help them. He's referring primarily to those who went out and worked for the Lord. And they gave at this church and sent support to them and tried to help them. And they ministered to one another and they loved the brethren. You know what the theme of this book is? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's to keep on keeping on. It's to keep on being faithful. It's to use the ability that God gave you. How long? Until the end. Until you die physically, or until the Lord comes and you're taken out. Every one of you can do that. You say, well, I may end up in a nursing home. Big deal. You can still keep on doing the work of Christ and being faithful to Christ until you're drawing your dying breath. That's what we teach them here at this nursing home. And do minister. And here's the keynote in all this. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. That's the key. 65 started and 8 are still in the work. And the one thing that the 8 of us have done, we have kept on keeping on. Some of us are better preachers than others. Some of us are better pastors than others. Some of us are better singers than others. The other guys that didn't finish, they were better preachers than we were. They were better singers than we were. They had better personalities than we do. But we're still here. It's not the amount of talent you have. It's not how charming and debonair and handsome you are. It's whether or not you're willing just to serve God and use the ability He gave you to serve Him where you're supposed to serve Him. And the important thing is to use it until the end. This is in the Bible so frequently it's amazing. God gives each saved soul the ability to produce fruit with patience, hypomene, with endurance. That's what patience is. Never gives up, endures, and keeps on trucking. God gives each saved soul the ability to produce fruit with patience while it lives in the body of its physical birth. Well, I've been in this physical body for 79 years. I've been saved 59 years. And I'm accountable to God for that 59 years. It's not so much how long ago I started. It's whether I'm still in the race. And it's whether I'm going to finish the race still serving God. I have the ability to do it. It's given from God. And God's not going to judge me for what I couldn't do. He's going to judge me for what I could do. The ability to produce fruit is tied directly to the Word of God. The ability to produce fruit is tied directly to the Word of God. If we are in submission to the Word of God, then we are in submission to the Spirit of God. And it reveals to us why we do the things we do. And we are able to judge ourselves by it. God gave the Word so I could judge myself. And when I preach this Word to you, I give you my Word before the Lord. I'm not judging you. I try hard not to judge anybody. I judge myself not by what you tell me, but by what this Word tells me. And I'm judged by the same Word that God called me to preach to you. And this Word is what we're all going to be judged by. And God gave us the ability to serve Him. And this Word hammers on that constantly. Hebrews 4, 12 through 13. For the Word of God is quick. It means it makes you alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I remember the hippie generation that was way behind me. And they said, we just want to find ourselves. We want to understand ourselves. You want to understand yourself? You don't need a psychoanalyst. What you need is the Word of God. And what I need is the Word of God. Because it pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirits and of the joints and marrow. It'll help you to separate between what part of you is right and what part of you is wrong. And if you've been born again, it won't take you very long from the Scriptures to determine that this new spirit that God gave you is right and the flesh is wrong and you're the soul caught in between. And the more you study that book, the more the Spirit of God that's in you can influence you to follow His Spirit rather than the flesh. And pretty soon you'll get to understand which part of you is which. When I was a young man, I didn't understand. But after 29 years here of having to study this book, there is a part of me that's a fleshly man, that's corrupt, ungodly, has horrifyingly graphic ungodly thoughts, is sinful, is selfish, is jealous, hateful, and spiteful. You don't get to see him too much anymore. but he's there. You ever see somebody that goes to a nursing home, particularly preachers, and after they get over there and they lose their mind, so to say, they lose control, they start cussing like a sailor, they're turning to nasty old men, they're horrible. Ask Terry and some of the nurses, why does that happen? Because they lose control. My carnal man is very jealous, very envious, very hateful, very spiteful, very mean, very snarly. He's awful. But you don't get to see him very much, because the Word of God has fed my spirit, and I know that rotten booger. I don't like him, but he's a part of me. And so I try to respond to the Spirit of God. I try to let him love. I try to let him teach my soul to love. My soul has learned to love. It's learned to love you. It's learned to love the things that God loves. My flesh never will. But by the grace of God and Jesus Christ, one day I'll get a new body. Then I won't have this problem of the flesh. And I'll be a single entity without sin, with a soul and a spirit and a body that's perfect. The Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God will judge you. The more you see it, the more you study it, the more it'll make it. You look at yourself in a mirror. That's what the Bible is. It's a mirror. And a lot of you are like me. Matter of fact, you're all like me. I won't be discriminatory. You pretty much see yourself like you want to see yourself. I won't discriminate. I used to think I was a Lone Ranger, but I'm not the Lone Ranger. We're all alike. And when we look in a mirror of the Bible, it exposes to us just exactly what we are, if we'll let it. And if you like what you see in that mirror about yourself, you've misinterpreted that scripture you're looking at, and you've twisted it to suit your own conniving heart. Man, as I've studied this book, I've seen what I am in the flesh. And I understand what Paul meant when he said, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And then he answered the question. I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. So the Word of God will let you see what you are. And if you think you're pretty special, and you think that your idea about everything is right, and you think you've got all of this pretty much by the tail, my friend, you're in serious trouble. Because the Word of God has taught me that I'm a little short, fat, dumpy nerd. Unprofitable servant. Not needed by God. That's not false humility. That's the truth. But once God finally gets you to a point where you realize you're not as significant as you once thought, he's a whole lot easier to love. He's a whole lot easier to worship. And he's a whole lot easier to serve. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The Word of God is a marvelous thing. The ability to produce fruit is tied directly to the Word of God. If we are in submission to the Word of God, then we are in submission to the Spirit of God. And it reveals to us why we do the things we do, and we are able to judge ourselves by it. We are very judgmental of others, but we refuse to judge ourselves by the Bible. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." He told Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." Until Christ came to live in me, I couldn't understand anything about myself. I just knew I was a sinner. I just knew I was hell bound. I had to be born again. When I repented of my sins, and I knew I was hell bound, and I did what Paul said. Paul said, testifying both to the Jew and to the Greek, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, I just turned toward God as what I am, a publican, a sinner, and asked Jesus to save me from hell because of what I was. Jesus saved me. He came to live in me. now have an ability. So do every one of you that are saved. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So you have the ability. You have the ability to serve God. It's God given. The question is, are you going to use your ability? And then the next question after you say yes is, are you going to use it through thick and thin? Are you going to stand fast? Are you going to endure to the end? Your master did. And he expects the same thing from me, and he expects the same thing from you. I'm not talking about going to heaven. I'm talking about what he's going to reward you for when you get there. And he gave you the ability to serve him, so he's going to judge you for whether or not you use that ability. Luke 8:11-16. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Every one of you out here who believed, accepted Christ as your Savior, acknowledged before God your sinful condition, and put your faith in Christ and asked him to save you, it was because that seed of God's word hit your heart and you received it. We're talking about what we're going to be judged for now when we get to heaven. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their heart, lest they should be saved. They can't produce fruit because they did not believe the word. What is this ability that you have and I have and every saved person has? What is this ability supposed to be used for? To produce fruit. Well, this person didn't receive that ability because this person didn't accept Christ, and he can't produce fruit because he didn't believe the word, and he won't even be at the judgment seat of Christ. He'll be at the great white throne of judgment and cast into a lake of fire. So let's look at the next one. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no root. I remember some of my classmates, the first 65. Some of them no longer are not only in the faith, they're out of the faith, but they're living like hell. And they're living like heathen that don't even know the Lord. You say, that's not possible. Oh, yes, it is. They were the ones that were the most excited about having received Christ. They're the ones that stood up and gave their testimony every 10 minutes. When the roll was called out, they're the ones that said amen when somebody else's name was called. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation, fall away. Do I think this person was given the ability to produce fruit? Yes, I do. It's taken me a long time to make up my mind on this parable. Lord knows it's taken me a long time. But I think I finally got the ingredients together after all these years. And this one did not produce acceptable fruit with their new God-given ability to do so because they do not endure in the Word. We're not talking about going to heaven here. The first person is not going to heaven. But this one, he had the ability to produce fruit. He did for a while. He used that ability. But is God going to judge us for quick, short spurts where we got all excited and then quit? He's not going to judge us for hell and send us to hell because we quit. But think of the harm that did to all those men in my class that went out and witnessed and told everybody how wonderful Jesus was. And 8 years later, they're in a gutter and a disgrace to God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, they do more harm than good. They do not produce acceptable fruit with their new God-given ability to do so because they do not endure in the Word. Now look, I'm not as good a preacher as a lot. There's lots of things about me that are erroneous. There's lots of things about me that aren't that acceptable. I understand that. But what is it that I can do? I have a God-given ability to serve, and so do every one of you. I can endure. I can continue. And so can every one of you. And so can every saved person. And so help me, if Jesus jumps me at the judgment seat, I'll take the rebuke. But I believe I'm telling you the truth. And I believe that's what he's going to judge us for, whether we continued in the word, because you produce fruit by continuing to the end of your life. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth. They heard. They received the word. They believed it. And they go forth. And some of these, they last quite a while. There were 13 of us that finished. Now I think there are 8 of us left. But pretty soon they're choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. No fruit to perfection. What good is fruit that isn't brought to perfection? They had the ability to serve God, and they started off and they used that ability. But you do not produce fruit unless you continue to the end, and on that tombstone somebody says, died faithful to the Lord. Not what's on the tombstone, it's whether it's the truth or not. Do not produce acceptable fruit. These people don't produce acceptable fruit with their new God-given ability to do so, because the love of the world overcomes their love for the Word of God. I don't know how many times I've seen this happen in the lives of preachers, deacons, church members, everybody. There's something out there in the world that means more to them than serving God. They have a God-given ability. They can be faithful in God's church. They can be scripturally baptized. They can work in the church. They can give to the church. They can pray for the church. They can let God change their outlook and perspective on life. They can serve God. But the world and everything that's in it and the pleasures it offers the flesh overcome them. And their God-given ability is not used, because the love of the world overcomes their love for the Word of God. You cut yourself off from that Word of God, you're not going to endure. You develop your own theology, your own ideas about God and all the things, the childish things you think about, and you think they're so immature, and the rest of us are a bunch of hypocrites. It's the Word of God that's true, not me, not you, but the Word of God. But that on the good ground are they, which is an honest and good heart, having heard the Word, keep it, katiko it, value it, and bring forth fruit with patience. There's that word, hypomene. As I've mentioned many times, you don't see that with the others, do you? That means they endured. It means they kept on using the ability God gave them. I don't care if you're multi-talented, you can sing, you can preach, you can dance. I don't care how many talents you have. I don't care how many different talents you have to work in God's church. It's not how many talents you have. It's whether or not you use the ability that God gave you, which is to serve Him in His church. Because that every one of us can do. And that's what we're going to be judged for. That's what I'm going to be judged for. And that's what we need to judge ourselves for in God's Word. This person produced acceptable fruit with their God-given ability to do so by letting the Word, which is the seed, grow in them through endurance to the finish of physical life, as they conformed to it. Ephesians 5:26-27. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now you can honestly accuse me of making mistakes and doing different things wrong, and I should have done it this way or should have done it that way, and it would be better if I did it this way or if I said it this way. And you can accuse me of many things, and you can accuse one another of many things, of saying this wrong, that wrong, and should have done this, should have done that. But in the end, you can never accuse me of not trying to preach the Word of God just as it is in truth, because that's what God uses to take you and I, after we're saved, with the God-given ability He's given us, to set us apart from the world. And as we listen to the Word of God, which is the washing of water by the Word, and we judge ourselves by it, we continually see how far short we fail of obeying it. And it causes us to repent and to turn to God and to keep on trying 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 and to keep on trying, keep on enduring until the day we die. That's how you produce fruit. Only with hypomene, patience, endurance, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but should be holy and without blemish. A church that doesn't preach the word does you no good. If the pastor doesn't preach the word, he's not worth a dime. But if he preaches the word, it's the word that does the cleansing. It's the word that does the changing. It's the word that does the judging. Not the preacher. The word. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. When I was a young preacher, I used to think, and I preached and taught, that this applied to somebody that was like this man here, that people could see this person had an honest and good heart because the word of God set this person apart. And they cleaned up their lives and they sanctified their lives by the power of the Spirit and by the word of God. And that's why they had a good and honest heart, because God cleansed it and washed it by the washing of water by the word. And I used to think down here when you came to this verse 16 that it applied primarily to them being able to see Christ in you. Well, it does. And if you want to interpret that verse this way, I don't have any problem with that, because I have preached it that way. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel. God means for the ability he gave you to be shown to the world. He didn't mean for it to be hidden. He meant for it to be a candlestick that all the world could see the light. I changed my mind. What I just told you is the truth. And I can show you a lot of other verses to validate what I just said. But I think this is talking about the judgment seat of Christ. Let me show you why. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest. Neither is anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. When we arrive in heaven, God's going to judge us. God's going to judge us for whether or not we used the ability he gave us, and whether or not we continued to use it until the end of life or until he came. Why would he do that? Because every one of us is capable of it. Not a one of us is incapable. And I think he's going to judge us for that. And I think it's going to become apparent in heaven who really loved him, who really served him. And I think it's going to be the ones that continued to the end and didn't quit and didn't give up. They used their ability to death. And I think in heaven, it's going to be revealed and it's going to be shown. And I think this next verse is referring to the reward in heaven. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever hath what? To him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. In context, with verse 16, going right on down through verse 18, the second, third, and fourth person had the ability to serve God. But only the third one produced fruit. Why? He used the ability that God gave him, and he did it to the end with endurance. That person didn't quit. To the end of his life, he kept on serving God. Take heed, therefore, how you hear, for whosoever hath used the ability to serve God and produce fruit, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not used the ability and produce fruit, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. What did he have? The ability to serve. How'd you like to be in heaven? In a glorified body, without sin, gloriously saved, eternally in the presence of Jesus Christ, and not be given anything to do. Would you be happy? Sure. How happy? I can't answer that question. But what about those people down here that
kept on being faithful right to the end, and they came to church, and they did what they were supposed to do, and they let God's Word change their attitudes and the way they thought about things, and let it God's Word mold and shape them into what the Word said. What about them? I think they're going to be given the ability to serve abundantly, more and more of it. And I think they're going to have their glorified tails worked off. And I think they're going to love every single solitary moment of it. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, you may be wrong. Yeah, I may be. Revelation 22, 3 through 5. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. These are the servants that served him and kept on serving him. They may not have been overly intelligent. They may not have been charming, handsome, and debonair. They may not have been multi-talented. But they had one thing God gave them: the ability to serve him to the end. And they did. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. That's about as close as you can get to the Lord in heaven. And they shall reign forever and ever. The reward is the right to serve Christ eternally. I'm going to heaven. Yeah, I want Imogene to be there. I love her very much. God knows I want her to be there. Yeah, I want all my kids to be there. I love them very much. Yeah, I want my grandkids to be there. You can't tell whether I'm telling you the truth or not, but I'll look at every one of you, every single one of you, and I'll look you right straight in the eye, knowing I have to answer for the Lord. I want to see you there. I know you're going to be there because you're saved, but I want to see you there, and I want to see you get a well done. I want to see you continue faithful to the end, and I mean that with all my heart. Because that's the greatest thing that can happen to you and to anyone else, is to be serving God when we die. If we couldn't do it, he couldn't judge us for it. But we can. And we need to think about those things, because I don't think it's going to be too much longer until we're all going to be standing at that judgment seat. If you'll judge yourself by the Word of God, you'll have a whole lot less to answer for, and so will I. Brother Jerry McGee, would you dismiss us? Jerry?